It was okay. I remember the first thing that happened when I opened my eyes. The nurse came in, very nice young lady. She was, I say, everybody treated me well, but she was the kind of person that just kind of like was concerned with everything that was going on with me. And I turned to her and I said, when I could speak, because I couldn't speak for about a week, I said to her, "Is there a King James Bible here?" And she looked at me and she says, "I really don't know." And she started out, she says, "I'll look and see what I can do." And when she did that, another nurse came in and said, "Do you know that she's on the computer trying to download verses for you?" And I told her, "That's going to be impossible, it's too much." So she spoke to someone, I believe it was a pastor that might frequent there, and he came by with a New Testament. And I said, "Well, Lord, if that's all there is, then that's good." The next day, a woman from the American Bible Society came in with a full Bible. So I said to the nurse, I said, "When I leave here, I'm going to give this Bible to you as a gift along with verses to read. And if you have any questions about anything, give me a call." And we have been in communication since then up until yesterday. And she's doing well. So she said she did read it. She said, "Some of it I have to read again." I said, "That's what you call study." So in that time, the Lord pointed me to the book of Mark. If you will be so kind to turn to Mark chapter 1. And I have found Mark to be an interesting book. As I shared it with my wife when we got back home, when I got back home and we were doing our devotions together. In Mark chapter 1, Mark kind of delves right into Christ's ministry, his beginning of his ministry after he came out of Judea and he came into Galilee. And his ministry starts there. But there's a certain part that I want to point out to us, both believers and non-believers, because it's really, really important for us to grab hold of this and understand. Now, in verse, 14, it says there, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the gospel of the kingdom of God,'" "the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now in verse 16 and a few verses following, we're going to see something very interesting happening here. And it struck me that this is something that is really important for us to do. It says in verse 16, "Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, 'Come, ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men.'" Now here's the part that grabbed me. "And straightway they forsook the nets and followed him." I want you to think about that. Straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Go a little further. "And when he had gone a little farther, thence he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in the ship, and the hired servants, and went after him. Immediately, the thing that I want us to grab hold of here today is the call of God requires immediate response. And I know there may be some sitting here and they're thinking, I'm not too sure. But I want you to understand something. Both instances, these men left immediately. Now, do you want to understand why that's so important? Capernaum was a very big city. Fishing was the job, was the business of the day. Now, if you didn't go out and get a catch, you had nothing to sell. But the Word of God says that these were prosperous men. These were men that had thriving businesses. And when Jesus called them, they left everything to follow him. God asks us to leave everything and follow him. Not tomorrow, not next week, immediately. Now, it doesn't say that Jesus told them immediately, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that. And neither did the scripture anywhere tell us that they went into a discussion about it. It does say they left immediately. Why is that important? Because now there's a certain scripture that says, and that's in Luke 14, it talks about, if you're to be my disciple, you have to hate your father and your mother, your spouses, your children, your everything. Now, let me explain something to you. Because I looked at this further, I said, now that's weird. Because God preaches love. How can you hate your mother, hate your father? Because one of the Ten Commandments says, honor thy father and thy mother. What? That your days may be long upon the earth. Okay? Well, hate does not mean hate as we term it here. Hate means that you are to value Jesus more than anything else. That's what hate means. So in a sense, when you look at it, you're going to go, oh, so I got to hate my mother and my father. And some people would love to hate their mom and dad, okay? But that's not what Jesus is teaching us. He is saying to love me more than these things. Now, if you value Jesus above all else, you will understand that you will show love to others as Jesus loved, giving himself for us. Releasing the love for the temporary. The things that we love here on earth, these things that grab our eyes, that make us sparkle, they're temporary. They're fleeting. They pass. To give you an example, you might go out and buy a nice outfit today. Next year, it's out of style. And you don't know what to do with it. You love it so much because you spent so much, and then, well, I can't give it away. It's too nice. What am I going to do? It's of no value. But Jesus is valuable today, tomorrow, into the future. He is always valuable. By parting with these things, we put a better capacity for serving Jesus. Now, let's understand that. How by putting these things aside gives us a better capacity to serve Jesus? This is one thing. There's a neighbor I have. He bought a nice car. And I saw him the other day after it rained. He went out, he took a cloth, and was wiping down the cloth. And he said to me, he said, hey, you know, Rich, when you wipe this down, it stops the spots from getting on the car. I said, I said, yeah, that's good. I ain't doing that. Okay. He worried about, we have another neighbor who, they feed all the stray cats in the neighborhood. And every now and then, these cats will come by. And one day he came out, the cat was sitting on top of his car, basking in the sun. And I'm going like, well, what are you going to do? These are temporary things. Okay? When we give up these things, our focus can now be on Christ. But when our focus is on our clothes and on our cars and on our houses and on our furniture and our lamps and all these different things, we have no time to focus on Jesus. We're occupied with all this stuff. And it's temporary. In Christ, He will take care of all our needs. Now understand this. The scripture does tell us He will give us the desires of our hearts. But that's not His primary goal. His primary goal is to meet our needs. Once our needs are met, everything else is gravy. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. The longer we hold on to the temporary, the longer we will be disappointed and unsatisfied. You see, when we wake up in the morning, we give God praise, or we should, for another day of life, another opportunity to do well, another opportunity to serve Him. That's what we should be doing. Now, let me just talk a little bit more. If you turn to Mark chapter 2, and there's a gentleman there that does something that some of us don't like to talk about. As a matter of fact, this year we got a little reprieve because instead of April 15th, it was pushed off to June. So you had a few extra months to get those figures together and to do what you're supposed to do. In Mark chapter 2 and in verse 13, it says, "And he went forth by the seaside, and all the multitudes resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipts of customs, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." Now, why is that important? He was a tax collector. He was making good money because he could set up his own fees and take off from the top what he wanted and give the rest to the Roman government. He was hated because he was a Jew, and he represented the government that was oppressing them. And we know how that goes. Every year, April 15th rolls around, you say, how can I get to pay this guy less? You try to figure it out. You want to do it legally, first of all, because if you don't do it legally, they'll provide a place for you to stay. It's not as comfortable as your home. But the fact is, he gave up that livelihood and followed Jesus. Now, Jesus also realizes, as the scripture says here, a large throng was following him. And you wonder, why were all these people following him? Time is going, but I want to drive home this point. The people were following Jesus for several reasons. One, he healed the sick, the lame, and the blind. So anybody that was in that category, you know what? I got to follow this man because he's doing some good stuff. I want to be there. We all want to follow people who are doing good stuff, okay? In some way, it puts a feather in our cap. It says, look, he's following the guy who's doing some good stuff. That's not what it's about. He also set demon-bound individuals free. One of the most vivid accounts is when he went to Gennesaret, and the man in the tomb who was there, chains couldn't hold him. Fetters couldn't hold him. He would cut himself and scream and cry all night long. And he lived in the tombs. They see, it's different today than it was then. Then they carved out a hole in the rock and they stuck the body in and covered it up. He used to live in those holes. It said he was naked. But you know what? The moment Jesus appeared on the scene, he ran to Jesus. Now, I want you to understand this also. The man was not in his right mind, but the demons that were in him recognized Jesus as king. And they bowed down before him and begged him not to destroy them. But you know what the beautiful part was? He let them go into some pigs. Now, that's why some of you don't eat pigs today, because you figure it's demon-possessed, but no. But he allowed them to go into the pigs, and the pigs, now, animals don't have souls. For those of you who think they do, let me tell you now, animals don't have souls. Okay? So when these demons went running into them, they didn't know what was happening to them. They just ran to the nearest place to get away from whatever. They were just trying to get free. And they destroyed themselves. But you know, the beautiful part about it, the man now was in his right mind. He was clothed, and he was listening to Jesus. Now, why is that important? See, when I first read this, I've read this many times. But you know what was funny? I always thought they said he was clothed in his right mind and left it at that. I didn't think about, okay, he's in his right mind and he's clothed. Okay? But that's the important thing. He was in his right mind and he was clothed and sitting there. And when the people saw that, they were afraid of him then. And I'm going like, why? Here he is, he's clothed, he's not screaming, he's not living in it. And he wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, go tell your family. Not only that, but I think this is the biggest part right here. Well, next to the biggest part, he said he raised the dead. Now, there are a lot of folks, you know, I got to follow Jesus because if I die, he might raise me up again. You know? I don't know what they were thinking as long as that, but that was good because it's helped some people out. But here's the big part. He fed them. Now, you're going to follow anybody that's going to feed you. A free meal is a free meal. You're going to be there. And you're going to be on time. As a matter of fact, they didn't want to leave him because they figured if they left him, they might miss a meal. But here's what's important. Jesus had to tell them, there's a price to follow me. And it's not cheap. You have to give up all these temporary things in order to follow me. And you have to bear your cross. Now, they knew what the cross meant. It was not something pleasant. But it wasn't a cross to be nailed to. It was a cross that you would have to carry whatever you're dealing with and yet still follow him. You couldn't leave that on somebody else. Still had to bear it and follow him. The price that he was about to pay, we could not, and we would not ever be able to pay. But he did it for us. You may be sitting out there in the audience right now, maybe on Zoom, maybe listening on the phone, and you go, you know what? I'm not sure if I can do this. I'm not sure if I can leave these things behind. All I can say to you is this. For those of you who are here present, if that's what's going through your head, before you leave here today, you need to talk with me, one of the leaders here, and get your doubts dealt with. Because dealing with those doubts today can save your life tomorrow. Because we don't know what's ahead of us. We don't know that tomorrow will even be ours to talk about. And in addition to that, following Jesus may not be easy, but it will always be, he will always be with you no matter what you're going through. As a matter of fact, he's the friend that will stick closer than a brother. Now, you got some friends here that you might say, hey, he's my best friend. Let things get real sticky, and you'll be standing by yourself. Sometimes even your mom and dad might say, I don't know you. You got to handle this one on your own. It's not my problem. But Jesus is there beside you. He's right there. Even if you make a wrong decision, he's not going to take away the consequences, but he's going to show you how to get through. And that's the most important thing. So it's important for you today, both those who believe, those who don't believe, when we hear the call of Jesus, we need to rise up and respond immediately. There's no discussion. There's no figuring it out. You know what the disciples found? As they walked with him daily, they learned much. They were able to do more. These guys were fishermen. They knew their jobs. They knew what to do, but Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You're going to be able to get men and women to have a new life, a better life. When these doors opened up, even when they were closed, and we found a way to share the word of God to make you have a better life. Because Jesus is the answer to a better life. Jesus is the answer to a peaceful life. Jesus is the answer to a hopeful life. And if you don't know him as your personal Savior, I encourage you today, now, not a minute later, not tomorrow to think about it and see if I can call somebody to talk to me about it. Today. There's no time like the present because you don't know what is in store for you tomorrow. As a matter of fact, not to be morbid, you don't know what's in store for you an hour from. I heard a preacher this morning say, count your hours. Because every hour that passes will never return. And you don't want to be in that group of the non-returning. We sang this morning about when we see him. If you don't know him as your personal Savior, when you see him, it may not be as pleasant as you might hope. I've heard people don't believe in hell. They all believe in heaven. But let me tell you something. If there's a heaven, rest assured there's a hell. Because God does not do half steps. He walks straight and he walks strong. So Jesus is the answer for you today. And I pray that you would accept him today. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have done. Lord, you've paid a tremendous price for us. And we pray that you would help us to make the right decisions to walk with you. So we give you praise this morning in Jesus' precious and most holy name. Amen.
I'm led to make this statement. I'm reading in Psalms 26 and verse 8.